Mother's Day is a great day. It's a great day to celebrate ladies and their faithfulness. Great day also to celebrate parents. Being a parent is one of the toughest jobs you'll ever do in your entire life. Today's message that I have for you is for all the mothers who've sat up all night with their kiddos in their arms, wiping up messes of peanut butter and jelly, Oscar Mayer wieners, and cherry Kool-Aid, when the moms just sat there and said, "It's okay, honey, mommy's here." This is a message for all the mothers who've shown up to work before with spit up in their hair, milk stains on their blouses, and diapers in their purse. If you had that problem, this message is for you. This is for all the mothers who have frozen their buns off, sitting outside on metal bleachers, watching their kids perform in the coldest days, just so when their kids say, "Mommy, Daddy, did you see that?" you could say, "Yep, I sure did." This message is for all those mothers who wanted to sit down with their children and have that birds and bees conversation, but it just wasn't time yet. This is a message for mothers that have worked so hard with their children to teach them how to tie their shoes before they go to school, and for the mothers that opted for Velcro instead, huh? Praise the Lord. Anybody remember those Velcro shoes? Yeah, those were great. This is for moms whose heads automatically turn when you go, no matter where you're at, and you hear that, "Mommy?" And every mother turns around like, "Oh boy," even when your kids are at home. If that's happened to you, this message is for you today. This is for the moms who have bit their lips so hard that blood was about ready to come out because you came home and your 14-year-old daughter dyed her hair blue like Sonic the Hedgehog. This is for moms who have given birth to babies that they love so much, but they've grown so big you can't even hold them in your arms any longer. And last, this is for the mothers that would take anything to be able to sit down with their mom they once used to have and be able to take her out to lunch today, like many of us will be blessed. This is a great day, a great service, a great time to celebrate our working mothers, our stay-at-home mothers, our single mothers, our married mothers that have big hearts of love, and for the mothers that we've all had, but we miss. So for you, happy Mother's Day. Let's open in prayer today. Dear Lord in heaven, God, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for our parents. We thank you for the love that they have for one another and the love they have for us, God. Lord, we thank you for our mothers, for without our mothers, none of us would be here today, Lord. We wouldn't be born. And so, God, we thank you for the mothers that you've chosen, that you've blessed us with, Lord. God, I pray for those that while we look at Mother's Day as a great time of rejoicing, I know there are some moms here, Lord, that have gone through tough times. Some mothers that have given birth to a baby that's no longer on the face of this earth. A child that's now in heaven, Lord. And God, they have to wait just a little longer before they see that child in heaven. Lord, I pray for those mothers. God, this message, I pray, God, would touch people, and I pray, God, that it would bless us. And Lord, we thank you and we honor our mothers that were once with us, Lord, but have soon passed away, God. We pray, Lord, for them and their families. God, we pray, God, that you would open our hearts and let us enjoy the beautiful life that you've blessed us with when you've created a woman. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Proverbs 31. I'm going to read that to you for one reason. The main reason is, if you noticed in your bulletins today, I gave you a description of what a mother's job is. I want to share with you some scripture from Proverbs 31 that talks about a biblical woman, a biblical mother, and what God's description is of those things. The title of today's sermon is Mother's Day. A mother's job is one of the toughest jobs in the entire planet. One of the toughest jobs in the entire planet. Let's see what God says about a virtuous wife. Verse 10 in Proverbs 31 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will lack no gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by the night. She stretches out to her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also as he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of the land and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's what God tells us. A lot of things in there about being a good mother, about being a good woman. But as I ask you those things, when you grew up, when you were a little child, was it your dream to be a mom or a dad? When somebody asked you, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? What did you say? Who wants to share? What did you want to be when you grew up, Becky? What did you want to be when you grew up?
I really didn't give it too much thought until I was in high school.
Yeah? Then what did you think?
And I geared myself towards at the time they called the secretaries.
Yeah?
I took a lot of business classes, math.
And that's what you wanted to be? Good. What about you, Angela? What did you want to be when you grew up? Never really thought about it much. Who else has thought about it? What about you, Sister Connie?
Wanted to be a nurse.
You wanted to be a nurse? Good. What about you? What did you want to be when you grew up, Christina?
A veterinarian.
A veterinarian. Oh, nice. That's good. Who else wants to share? What did you want to be when you grew up? Anybody else have anything they want to share? Thomas?
A doctor.
A doctor? Yeah, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a doctor because I had an Aunt Ginge. I loved her so much, and she had more medicine she had to take in the morning than food. And I remember as a little kid, my Aunt Ginge would pull out her purse and you would just see all these pills. And she would tease me. She said, well, it's time for my lunch. And so I'd sit down next to her and I thought we were going to eat lunch because she made me a sandwich and chips. And she came down and she goes, this is my roast beef, and this little pill. And she said, this one is my whatever. And she'd eat these things. And I really, as a kid, thought that she was serious because I watched the Jetsons. And if you ever watch the Jetsons cartoons, you know they had that kind of stuff. And so I thought, like, man, my aunt, she has like a roast beef pill, peaches pill. I mean, she's set up. But as I got older, I thought, man, I want to be a doctor so that I can help people that have to take all these pills so that they won't have to take any pills anymore. It's neat. Well, we all have great, great desires to be these different things when we're young. Being a mother or a father is one of the hardest jobs, but one of the most rewarding jobs you could ever have. Because you invest so much time and love in your children and in your family. It's just more than any training you would go to college for a degree, more than anything else you'll do with your life. And some parents say, well, I am lucky, Pastor. My child is almost 18. Well, hey, I got one of those kids too that's almost 18, but I think I'm still going to be in this for the long haul. I think I could foresee my son being 60 years old and saying, Dad, you know, do you have 20 bucks I can borrow for? I mean, that's what you have when you're a parent. You're a parent for life. And it is a tough job. But boy, is it a blessed job. That's why I titled the sermon, Motherhood, One of the Toughest Jobs on the Planet. Now, the woman we read about in the Bible, what an amazing woman in Proverbs 31. This woman not only was a good, godly woman, but she took care of her family. She fed them, she clothed them, she planted a garden. She did all these different things, sold things. I mean, she was quite the woman. And even though we read about what it's like to be a good woman or a good mother, it's still a challenge, right? I don't know what the toughest job you've ever had in your life is, but raising a child has to be right up there. I mean, they don't come with instructions. Every one of them acts differently. How do you do this? So, as a computer guy, my brother had a kid, Charity, you guys know her, and they had a computer manual for raising children, and so I bought it for him. I don't know if it's helped any, but at least it was a manual. But for most of us, we don't have a manual to raise our children, and so it's a tough job. Who in the congregation today thinks it's easy to be a mom or a dad? If you think it's easy to be a mom or a dad, raise your hand. Yeah, it's not an easy job. And so I want to share some scriptures with you. You'll see on your bulletin on the opposite side of that mother's job description, I have some scriptures that I put there for you. I want to go over a couple of these scriptures and share them, how they can help you in this challenging task of being a mother or a father. So one of the things you need in God's Word is some encouragement. Sometimes you go through some tough times as a parent. You don't know what to do, and you really need some encouragement. And so, any moms today ever gone through a hard time raising a kid? Yeah? Dad's gone through a hard time taking care of a wife or a kid? Be careful, I'm raising your hand on that, guys. But yes, indeed. And now, I saw Becky kind of look up at me, and I look at Becky and I think, now, Becky, I know your children. I know Lee. And I know Angela, and I know Chris. I mean, how could you have had a hard time raising those three perfect children? And now you laugh on top of it. I mean, the truth is, while Becky loves her children, I mean, there is a little gap, if you look over there, you'll notice sitting between them two. But while she loves her children, it is tough raising children. Children can cause some frustration, can't they? They can cause a little discouragement. Right? They can cause all kinds of emotions. If you have an emotion, your child can stir that up within you. And now, even though you love your children, there's been some silly things they've probably done over and over again when you told them not to do it, haven't there? You tell them, now, if you do this one more time, if you touch that stove one more time, you're going to get it. And what do? They look at you. And then as soon as you look away, right? I touched it. And then they go running. At least that's what my kids used to do.
Sometimes they don't even turn away. Okay.
Sometimes I don't. My kids haven't been that bold, but that I know of anyway. But yes, so exactly that's what happens. And so it can be discouraging. It can be tough. And discouragement's a real force in a mother's life. And so when you have this discouragement, it tries to steal your joy. You got to remember that God is with you and He's going to help you during this. There were times that I would come home and Shannon, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she would have Faith in her arms. I would open the door and bam, there Shannon was with the baby. And I'm like, had that kind of a day. She hands me Faith and she starts walking. I'm like, honey, where are you going? Can I go with you? She's like, nope, I need time alone. I'm like, are you coming back? Maybe, I haven't decided yet. Like, my gosh, what did you do, kid? But that's what we face as parents. So we got to look at the first scripture that I have for you. There is Isaiah 41:10. And it says, so do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. God is there to help you. And sometimes that three that you count to before you discipline or go after your kid, sometimes you need to count to that three for you, not for them. Have you ever thought of that? Sometimes you're there. One. And what happens? Do you calm down while you're counting? Does any mom calm down while they count? My mom sure didn't. She's like, Alan Barris Jr., one, two, three. And then you knew it was coming. But sometimes, mom, you may need to count to calm down. You may need to go somewhere and count to 10. If you could possibly do that at that time. I don't know, but this scripture might help you. So keep it on your fridge. Save it somewhere. Another common thing we deal with is anger. Can your kids bring anger to you? Sometimes, I mean, these are loving bundles of joy. God says that a child is a gift from God. Now, Joanne, how can a child that's a gift from God bring you anger? Right? But they do sometimes. Sometimes they get you a little spun up, right? I mean, I remember one time Shannon was doing this nursing thing. She was getting in school, and Josh thought he would take her brand new stethoscope. We paid $200-some-odd for this thing. He grabbed her new stethoscope, and he wanted to see if he could find our dog's heartbeat. Well, that's great, but I don't know that a lot of people want dog hair all over them while they're checking for their thing. Kids do that. Have your kids ever got a hold of, they call them Sharpies now, but we used to call them magic markers, and go at it? Oh, yeah, I had this great stereo. Anybody remember those stereos that used to come in the long cabinet?
Yep.
You know, they were all like aluminum looking, and they had big knobs, and they had all those equalizers. Oh, yeah, my kids grabbed a hold of one of those magic markers and decided to draw a real nice picture for Dad on it. And you know what I found out gets off magic marker? Nail polish remover. But you know what it also does, George? Takes off all the lettering on those things, too. So now I have no idea what any of the knobs did. Kids, they can bring that out in you sometimes. Sometimes they can get you a little frustrated. Especially, I don't know, if you have had a girl. I remember Shannon telling me a story that Ariel or Angela, one of them, found her makeup. And Shannon used to be a bluebell, which is like a dancer person in high school. And she found her makeup and lipstick and nail polish and all this stuff and decided to paint everything in Shannon's room with all that stuff. It was so great. I mean, kids can do that thing. I've told Josh before, why are you trying to cut your own hair? Well, you said I needed a haircut, Dad. That was to remind myself to take you to get your hair cut, not for you to start chopping chunks out of your hair. My poor son looked like he had mange. And so sometimes we get to that point where we get so angry with them. Sometimes it's so angry we just laugh. Other times, we need to do that counting thing again. So we get so frustrated. God gave us a scripture for that. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Sign your little insert too. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, I want to tell you something. You might have to memorize these things. Because if you're angry and you read this, in my anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Ah! You don't want to do that, right? Because now, where's your scripture? You can't read it if you tear it. So in your anger, do not sin. Don't let that devil have a foothold in your house. And I can't use this anymore. But you know why? If you have that anger, what happens is the devil cracks open that door. And then that anger, you know, it doesn't stop with a mom or a dad being angry at their kid. You know what happens? The husband or wife comes home. And it starts out like this. Do you know what your child did? Well, you gave birth to him. I mean, I don't know what he did. That's never the right answer, gentlemen. But if you lose your temper, if you get angry, what that can do is that can cause dissension in the family. It can rip the whole family apart instead of working together as a team. So sometimes you just got to walk away. You got to read that scripture and pray about it. Like, God, I'm so angry right now. You said, don't be sinful when I'm angry. And I don't know how to do that. You're going to have to help me. And while you're doing that, your kid's tugging on your shirt. Mommy, I want this. Oh, Lord, you really got to help me. You may run into those situations. The next thing I want to talk to you about is if you've had a kid, you know the one thing you need is wisdom. Kids ask you questions that you'll never know the answer to. Why do birds hop? I don't know. Do you know? Why doesn't a bird walk like a normal animal thing? Why does it have to hop all the time? And why does every time a bird hop, its neck goes out like this? Like, why can't it just walk normal? You know what I mean? So kids will ask you these questions. You need kind of that wisdom to be able to answer. But not just that, then there'll be hard questions. They'll ask like, Mom and Dad, when can I date? I mean, Dad's answer is simple. Never. Moms negotiate a little bit more than that usually. But they'll ask you tough questions like, where should I go to college? Josh just got a scholarship for $10,000 a semester to Rochester, New York University for a computer science degree. There you go. And he says, Dad, how do I know what college to go to? Well, the one that's close by the house, that's the one you go to if you want to eat still. Ron, isn't that right? Isn't that what you told Tramel? But there are times in your life where kids will ask you questions. They seek your wisdom. And you need to know, what can you do? How can you help them? I think one of the toughest things that we have to teach our children as parents is when your kids come to you and you're going through a tough time and you try to help them understand that even though they're going through a tough time, that God loves them. Because sometimes kids go through things that we don't understand. They joke with us and they tease us, but the truth is, we were kids a long time ago. We don't understand some of the things that the kids face today. And so we have to be good at listening. And so in order to be able to answer them, we have to have wisdom. And God tells us in wisdom about James 1, 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all who find it without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And then here's one of my favorites, Psalm 55, 22. It's in there too. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. I've used that many times. Like, God, you said I'd never have more than I can handle. I'm giving my burden to you. Please help me. Shannon's method was handing faith to me when Shannon left, when I got home from school. She was like, casting my burden on you, husband. Good luck. Take care. Faith is a great kid. So is Josh. But boy, we know what it's like to be parents. We know the battles that you go through. Now, this doesn't mean that if you leave and you pray and you say, God, please help me right away, that God's necessarily going to give you that wisdom and impart that to you right away. Sometimes you might have to go through that refiner's fire to figure some things out on your own so that he can teach you while you're going through that trial. But that reason is because God loves you too. Along with needing wisdom, now men, I'm going to pick on you a little bit here, but our wives need encouragement. Our ladies need encouragement. And you got a couple of choices, guys. Your wife can get encouragement from somebody else, or she can get it from you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my wife to have to seek after another man's approval. I want my wife to come to me because she loves me. And so we need to encourage our wives. We need to support them and help them in the efforts that they're going through. Being a mom is a tough job. And so us as men, women need encouragement. And we're the ones that God has blessed us with to be able to give them that encouragement. I'll tell you another thing is that you say, well, my wife, she stays at home with the kids. Women can get real lonely. If you're a dad that stays at home with the kids, you know, you can get real lonely being at home. You say, well, you can talk to the kids all day. You can't have an adult conversation with them. Sometimes you just want to talk to another adult. I can tell you that I battled this in our marriage for a while. I was working hard. I was flying out twice a week all over the United States. My wife was happy. Our marriage was good. But my wife was sad because she is lonely. I would talk to her on the phone. I would spend as much time as I could with everybody. But I thought it was more important to build a career and to be able to provide things for my family instead of give myself to my family. Guys, we need to be there for our wives. We need to support them. We need to give them encouragement. We need to love on them. We may not be perfect, but folks, I'll tell you, we have a Savior who is perfect. If you can't look to your husband for help sometimes, then you need to look to God always for help. God gives us these promises that even as men, we could never keep. John 14:8 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hebrews 13:5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth to return to his heavenly Father, he gave us a promise. In Matthew 28:20, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Folks, you're not alone. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. He's working with you and he will help you through anything you have. But men, we need to appreciate our wives. The last bit of scripture, last bit I want to share with you is about worry. As a parent, if you're a mom or a dad, you've probably worried about your kids before. I know I've worried about my kids. You know, one of the biggest struggles I had was when they left. How many people are parents and they don't have their kids in the home anymore? How many people are parents and their kids have left? Grown up, yep. You still have an influence on your children's lives. It could be a positive or it could be a negative influence. But I'll tell you, when we went and dropped Faith off to be able to join the military, that was one of the hardest days of our life. Now, I knew she'd be safe. I knew she'd be protected. But she wasn't coming home. She wasn't spending the night at a friend's house for a day. She wasn't going to youth camp for a week. She wasn't coming home. After a couple months went by, you know, they go through basic training, they can't contact you. And you wonder, man, I hope she's okay. I hope that I taught her everything that I knew how to teach her before she left. And about a month before she left, I kind of went through this mental inventory. Well, did I teach her how to go camping and do all that stuff and go fishing and play baseball and all these silly things? But I was thinking, basically, I was thinking, as a dad and a mom, did we teach our daughter everything we knew how to teach her before she left our nest? So folks, I know you're going to worry. Because we do as parents. We want the great things for our kids. And then after she got out of basic training and she went into the barracks, I started to have that worry creeping up again. Boy, I sure hope she's really going to follow the Lord. I know when I was in the military, I graduated from high school early. I was in there when I was 17. And I had people pressuring me to drink. I had people pressure me to have sex with them. I had people teasing me because I wasn't even old enough to buy a scratch-off lottery ticket. But yet I was old enough to defend our country. There was all kinds of peer pressure that was taking place. I was able to say no to all those things. But I wondered, is my daughter going to be able to do that? Did we teach her enough? Is she going to be willing to say no to those things that look so enticing? So folks, I know what it's like to worry about somebody you love. And I went back to this scripture in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Folks, I read on that so many times. As parents, there's competition. Seems like I remember when Faith was little, we'd go to these places and Josh, and they'd say, how old is your baby? Oh, well, my kid's 10 months old. Can he walk yet? Is he standing up? My child's been walking since he was 11 months. I'm like, great. Well, mine just rolls everywhere. Well, aren't you a little concerned about that? Don't you need to feed him this? What are you feeding your child? Oh, you're not feeding him this? You're not feeding him that? There's all this competition. Folks, I want to tell you, you're not going to be like any other parent. You're a unique person. God created you unique, just like a snowflake. You have a perfect fingerprint that's not like anybody else's. You're a unique person, so don't compare yourself to anybody else. You're doing a good job when you're trying to do the best you can for your kids and raising them for the Lord. You don't have to compare yourself to your neighbor. You don't have to compare yourself to what you read in a book, what you read in a magazine. If you're trying to do it for God, then you're doing a great job. So hats off to you. Keep up the good work. So many times we try to compare ourselves. You don't need to compare yourself. God says in His Word, He's got ways to help you. And the ways He has to help you are simple. We can go to Him when we're discouraged. We can go to Him when we're angry. We can go to Him when we need wisdom or we feel alone. We can go to Him when we're tired, when we're worried. Moms, my hat goes off to you. God knows that this is a high calling, being a mother. It's a tough job, but the Lord will help you. Proverbs 22:6, one of my favorite verses, we use it in dedication services all the time, says, train up a child in the way of the Lord, and he, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Moms, when you teach our children by example, when you show them what unconditional love is like, when you show them how much you care about your kids, even when you're frustrated, even when you're going through a tough time, when you sit down with your child and you pray with your kid, when you read the Bible with your kid, when you start to show your child who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you know what you're doing with your child? You're planting seeds. And those seeds that you're planting will take root and become beautiful flowers someday. They will. So don't lose hope. Keep trying. Remember Proverbs 22:6. And so in a symbol of that, when you guys leave today, I want to give you something, each one of you moms something. They look like crosses. But what they're called is seed crosses. So each one of these has flower seeds on them. And you take it, you plant it about a quarter an inch underneath the ground and you water it. And what will happen is little beautiful flowers will come up from this cross. Just like your children are going to be beautiful flowers that grow up someday. And you know who they look up to? They look up to you, parents. We have the option where we can teach our kids everything that we know. We can love on them and we can treasure them. But if we miss out on telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, we've really missed our main calling as a parent. And I know today there's people here that are suffering. I know Sister Lorene, Mother's Day is a hard day for her. One of her children, Jeremy, passed away at a very young age. And so it's tough. I know there's parents here that have had miscarriages. I know there are parents here that love their children but can't be with them this Mother's Day. Don't lose hope. God loves you, and you know what? You're His child too. And so just like you long for your child, like you love your child or you long for your mother, God will fill you. He will take care of those things. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 5 and 6 says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God will help you with that. This Mother's Day, I don't want you to compare yourself to any other mom. You have the hardest job in the world. All I want you to do is look to God for leadership. Look to God for guidance. He can provide it all for you. instead of going to that magazine or that book or that neighbor. Pick up that little sheet of paper that has your description of what a mom does and laugh a little bit. And then turn it over and read those scriptures of encouragement that God gives you. It's been said many times, mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but keep a hold of their hearts forever. God bless you, mothers, and everything you do with your family. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God, and we thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord. God, we thank you that you give us patience in times when we need patience, that you give us love when we need love, and you show us how to unconditionally love those that you've blessed us with, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for the women and the men of our church. And I thank you, God, for the women who are striving to be godly women, Lord. I know it's a tough path. Maybe today, Lord, in our congregation, there's a son or a daughter or a grandson or granddaughter or mom or grandmother or somebody who's having a difficult time today. Maybe there's some people here that want to be a mother, but for some reason they just can't be a mother. Maybe there's somebody here who has had a mother who's passed away and everybody else is going to go out and celebrate lunch and time with their mother. They can't do that, and so their hearts are mourning today. Maybe there's a mother here who's had a child pass away, or a mother who's struggling to raise a child as she nurtures that child's faith, Lord. God, I know there's a lot of things we're dealing with today, Lord. Maybe there's a mom or a dad here today that feels the pain of a child who is just suffering this morning, and they just won't listen to them. It just seems like they can't help them, Lord, and all they can do is pray. God, I pray that you would help these people, Lord. And if anybody feels like they need to come to the altar and just pray for their children or pray for their family or pray for themselves, God, that you would give them that comfort and that peace and that grace today, Lord. God, maybe there's a mother or father here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so, God, well, they want to do the best job raising their child. It's hard because they don't even know Jesus themselves. They don't know what this unconditional love is like. Maybe today is the day where they just want to meet God and they just want to meet you, Lord. And they want to say, God, I need your help in raising my family. I need your help in changing my life. God, I pray that if somebody is struggling in that area, you'd let them come pray, Lord. Whatever people are dealing with today, God, in their hearts, I pray, God, that they would stop bearing that burden, Lord, and they would come and bring it to you. Just like the scripture says, cast your cares upon the Lord. God, as we sing this verse of invitation from hymn 249, I pray that you would help people if they need to come and pray today. That's hymn 249.
Have you a heart that's weary?
Seated.